Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence. Healing From Within, which is heard on webtalkradio.net, is devoted to exploring our inner energetic source and also our interconnectedness to each other and all of life. Today's episode, I welcome Dr. Steve Brannan, author of his newest book, The Two Agreements, which is a reinterpretation of the original ancient gospel, and specifically, I think, a newer interpretation of the message of Jesus to the world. I myself personally have felt as my own meditation practices and mediumship abilities have unfolded that Jesus was not so much interested in the restrictions and fears generated by many religious concepts and political concerns, but wished to help others recognize the divinity of their own life force and to help others create a personal and intimate connection and dialogue to Source, or for some, known as God. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Cheryl.
I am so delighted to have this time to share the intensive and extensive lifelong pursuit, right? It is that. Our life is both that. Intensive and extensive. And it has engaged, I believe, your heart and mind in the search for the truth of individual life energy. I think also possibly for a greater view of the divine. But let me share with our audience a little about your background.
Okay.
Reverend Dr. Steve Brannan is retired from a military career in the U.S. Air Force and in the U.S. Navy and was a commissioned surface warfare officer assigned to the Armed Forces Staff College. He designed lesson materials in a professional development course for mid-level commissioned officers. But he was licensed at a very early age as a minister. He was only 19, and he holds a doctorate of divinity from the University of Esoterica. So Steve is an interfaith spiritual minister who offers counseling to ex-offenders and also assists them in securing admission into local support groups, mental health groups, and temporary employment. Now, Steve, the first question I'm going to ask you, I'm sure you're asked very often, it's probably one of the first questions. How did you go from being a young minister to the military and then on to the many healing and spiritual projects that have defined your life? You are laughing.
I guess I must be one of those that's been a sword beaten into a plowshare, you know, scriptural kind of metaphor. But I come from a military family and also come from a family that has ministers. My mother's uncle was a pastor. But I suppose my father's headstone will pretty well say it all. It says for God and for country. And I suppose that's just sort of where my family is and where my family tradition is and how deep it is in me. We just feel a service for a country and at the same time have a place in our lives for God and a deep devotion. On top of that, Cheryl, I must say that too many times I found myself on both sides of the fence with occupations and such. With my university studies, I've been a student, and I've also been a teaching associate while I was working on my doctorate. And in the military, I was enlisted and then went to college, came back in, and got a commission. So I was a commissioned officer. I was on both sides of the fence there. And, of course, with religion, I've been in the pew, and then I've been in the leadership. And now I've been very religious and doing all the work and even planted a church out in Oklahoma, and now I'm very much on a spiritual path as a mystic.
You know, it seems like you were it really seems like you were exploring duality in occupations and life experiences, so you could come back to the oneness and unity, which is our physical and spiritual life. So I guess that's how it worked out for you. And there was
Yes, I was just out to experience, and I believe you're very much onto it right there.
Yes, this life is about all our experiences and refining our energy, our soul, our presence, our connection to everyone else, and every experience, if not judged, good or bad, has meaning and leads us forward. And I think there's a quote that you used in your book that I liked a lot, and it said, "The divine is the sea. All religions are rivers leading to the sea. Some rivers wind a great deal. Why not go to the sea directly?" And this quote is by Mother Meera. Can you tell us something about that quote?
Yes, it's a lady that experienced Shamande and at a very young age. And that's going into just a state of bliss and maybe nirvana, you might call it, but it's where the person is still very much in contact with what's going on, but they're also in such a very peaceful state of mind that just whatever's going on doesn't affect them. But her quote spoke to me very much as myself working to be in touch with the divine on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, at the same time being in touch with what life is bringing to me and going about my daily rounds. In that way, I feel like I'm bringing the divine into the material, physical world.
And I think that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Well, that really spoke to me because I'd had my life, her quote spoke to me because I'd had my life so much in the religious, and she was talking about why not go directly to the sea. Now that's where I'm putting all my energies, have been for a good while. The other way I identify with her too, Cheryl, is that while I was serving in the Navy, I was out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in one of our deployments. Beautiful, beautiful day, and I'm standing at the handrail of the ship. This was 1983. Changed my life. I was standing at the handrail, admiring the beautiful blue sky and the beautiful blue ocean, and I began to contemplate the depth of that ocean and the many miles that sky went out there and what was beyond it also. That's about the last I remember. Next thing I know, I melted into it. It was midday.
Oh.
I just had lunch, and I just melted into that.
Was that an out-of-body experience?
No, I was very much in my body as just this Shamande type of experience that...
you had a moment of such joy.
I didn't know what to call it.
Joy.
I entered such a place of peace. Oh. I could feel the wind, and I could hear the waves breaking on the bow of the ship. I could feel the warmth of the sun, but I was no more just my body. I was one with the sky. I was one with the water. I was one with the ship I was on. I was just one in the moment. Now, I don't know how long I stayed there in that state. I just remember coming out of it. It was almost like you're asleep and you're trying to push yourself and force yourself to wake up because you know you got to go to work or something, okay? So.
But you remember it, and you, as you are talking about it, you're feeling it again because it became so much a part of that connection to the oneness of universal energy. And I've had a moment like that too, of complete joy, joy, and wondering what I ever did to be able to smile through my whole soul and energy and feel that way. And I'm beginning to think that perhaps this physical life is simply a challenge for our hidden soul to be rediscovered, maybe, and for life and spirit to be honored and appreciated, to honor both the divine in ourselves and also the fact that we have a physical life.
Yeah.
I really think that's what's happening.
Yeah. after that moment happened to me on at the handrail of that ship, I definitely came to believe that this physical life and all that we make of it is way, way too overrated.
I agree. Because we are so much very more than we appear to be. Isn't that so?
Absolutely. And that experience, I just have gone about wanting that to happen to me again. It happened just spontaneously, but I have sought it in my ways of meditation and my times of living my life as a mystic, going into my own ways of finding the stillness and going to the seat of myself, which is silence. And I haven't found the exact kind of experience come up on me that I had that day, but I'll guarantee you that my efforts each day is to experience oneness.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. But Steve, tell us how you came to write a reinterpretation of the popular view of the Bible theme, and a little bit about the original concept of the gospel and what you call the good news gospel that sees God in perhaps a kinder or more human source.
Well, always been fascinated by the Jesus story, the life that was lived and all the stories of what the God-man did. And just fascinated by that on one level. And about the message of the love and the grace that he showed. And saddened by the way that it's gotten buried under such an interpretation of judgment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And really condemnation and even damnation. And I don't know that I consciously went about seeking a way to reinterpret. I put the word download of information on the cover of my book or on the description of the author, because that's essentially what happened. An intuitive interpretation came to me.
Okay.
In the days after that, I went about attempting to write it, Cheryl, and I would make attempts and just be blocked, and I'd make an attempt, and it's okay, who's going to... I was so excited. I was really hyper. I went over to one of my friend's house that I graduated high school, and I happened to be back in my home state of Tennessee at the time. I had retired from the Navy, and this was 1988, and I went and just so excitedly went rattling this off of this way of seeing the life and teachings of Jesus from such an inclusive way and just full of love and grace and without all the judgment. And after that, I went about attempting to find audiences, thinking about audiences who I might write this to and who might be receptive to it. Without me being called too much of a heretic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's all right. We need our heretics and our rebels because they bring a different perspective. I go along with you. I kind of think that the original God concept, which, saved man from his true nature of sin, disobedience and suffering, was never right. I never believed that to be right. I always sort of believed that God loves humanity and that he sent Jesus and other messengers to realize their divine connection to him and to show others how they could have a soul free enough to experience heaven here on earth and to communicate personally and privately. And as an intuitive healer, Reiki practitioner, and medium, I do that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And other people who have come and studied with me also learn to do this. So how do you learn to do this is the question. By, I think, knowing who you are as an energetic soul essence at the heart level and a physical or mind and ego essence and working to bring the two of them together. Right. So I'm very much with you there. As a little girl, religion to me, when I went to the temple, not that we were that religious, but when I went to the temple and listened to the people, I kind of wanted to laugh because I said, who are they talking to? They're just repeating rote, memorized script, and they're not feeling the beauty of like a child praying and just saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep. Watch over me." You know, talking personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew something was wrong. I didn't quite know what was wrong at that point, but I knew it didn't resonate for me. Well, let's go on for a minute here.
Yeah, your divine nature just really told you that just did not fit. Yeah.
No, this did not fit, and I just observed for a long time. And I also in college studied philosophy and religion and education and.
Wonderful.
And it took a long time to put all the pieces together, but I think there are people like us doing that. So we're sort of having a mystical experience. We're also having a physical reality experience, remembering everything that we've absorbed from our experiences since childhood. And I'd like to go back to that. You describe a mystic, and you are living the life of a mystic. What does it mean to be a mystic or live as a mystic?
Well, number one, you're not very well accepted by religious folk. They really call you into question, and so that's one part of it, but that's not a big part of it. The big part of it is that I have the freedom to find and experience God wherever, whenever, and however I choose, and that the bigger part of my practice, as far as practices, gets down to seeking out times of finding stillness and very much entering the silence. Now, I give a lot of credence to anyone who, the different mystical paths that are laid out for us in history and a way of going about doing the discipline that mystics of old laid down of how they maybe even went into the monastic type of lifestyle. Now, I don't practice that. Mine might come under the heading of something more called practical mysticism. And the way I describe that is that I'm able to go on about my daily life and at the same time staying in touch with the mystical side, the mystery of life here, the divine of life here, and bringing that in and being open to that knowledge coming through me and guiding me through my day. I invite that divine wisdom to come into me. I invite the divine energy to come into me, take me through my day in a healthy fashion, in a safe fashion. I go ahead and I interact, Cheryl, with all the institutions that are around me. You know, I pay my electric bill. and I watch the TV and I get yucko by the news or whatever at times, but and I go ahead and I live and I'm a neighbor and I'm a friend, I'm a son, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather many times over.
Mm-hmm.
And I go ahead and I interact with the individuals and with the institutions with the knowledge in mind that I am here to share the divine gifts that are coming in me and through me moment by moment each day with all of these institutions and with all of these individuals, and that I'm making a difference by allowing this divine nature to come through me. That's
so
how
perhaps,
I live my mystical experience.
Well,
That's
a wonderful description, wonderful description. And perhaps a mystic is someone who self-examines his own physical life, his emotional life, and tries to find the best connections and be the best example in their everyday life, as you just described, and going within and being in awe of having a physical life, just being alive, finding the joy in that, and finding the connection once again to where they came from, that energetic source or universal life source or God, as some people call it. So I guess many people are having a mystical experience that way, trying to learn more about themselves and others around them and what life is all about. And I think that
Absolutely.
Might be what it is.
Absolutely. In my belief system, we're all called to be mystics.
Yes.
We're all called to go directly to the source for our own belief system, our own truth.
And who do you think influenced you the most in writing your book? I have an idea, but it may be several people you want to mention.
Well, I have to say my parents, by giving me the faith, rooting me and grounding me in the faith of just trusting in a higher power that I call God.
You were lucky. You had very good parents, as did I.
Yes, mother's still living, and she's 82, and I'm in touch with her every day and have her over at my home as often. She still lives on her own and gets in that car and goes where she wants to go. Just very much a blessed woman. But the two of them, but also, just again, back to the life of Christ and how it influenced me of giving me a picture of an individual being able to live in two worlds at the same time, realizing, give a good example of being a spiritual person,
mm-hmm.
having a physical experience. On the other hand, being a very physical person, having a spiritual experience. See, did I get that crossed up?
I think we're trying to do that. I think we are trying, and that's what this show is about, actually, the duality and learning who we are as both spiritual and physical beings. And I understand that you took the first level class in Reiki. And as a Reiki master myself, I would like to hear your reaction. How did that experience fit with the spiritual life you write about in the two agreements?
Well, it influences me every day. In fact, I was practicing it just a couple of hours ago. And
on yourself? A self
session? On some friends doing some distance Reiki treatment. And I happened to meet with my Reiki master that taught me the first level yesterday, the first time we've been back together in almost 2 years. And it was so great to see him when we were talking about level two, talking about going to level two. I've been practicing this for 2 years. But, Cheryl, I very much believe that we are living in a virtual spiritual candy store.
Mm-hmm.
All these wonderful experiences are here for us today. It's just so many books being written and so many seminars and so much truth coming in and so many practices. Like being able to channel the life force energy and be able to make a difference in our bodies and in our lives and touch people at a distance, just like what I do when I practice the Reiki.
Because it's all about energy, our soul
presence,
and our connection to the divine. And I actually believe Jesus was practicing a form of energy healing when he did his hands-on healing. Yes, he was a man.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he was channeling divine God's energy. So I sort of feel, how can I say this, that Reiki has encouraged me to be aware of the energy of my own soul source and the energy of others around me. So we know that we're both here in a physical life and we're connected to souls and spirit at all times. And these bands of eternal life force energy keep us connected to people, whether they're in a physical body or in spirit. And that's what a medium does. And that's what a Reiki healer does when they're sending distant healing energy. You don't have to be in the place, you know, with the person, and it can still have a tremendous influence. So that means we've got to go beyond the ego force of illusion of only our physical life and get to the heart or spiritual source and know we are eternal soul beings connected to all that ever was and all that ever will be. And in that sense, we are also divine and sons of daughters of God.
Yes.
Correct?
Absolutely. And if we ever have a hope of having the happiness that we're supposed to have here in this life, and if we ever have a hope to experience the peace and the joy and just the satisfaction that we're in the right place at the right time, then we must come to this knowledge. that it's only spirit. It's only energy that we're living in here, and that it's only one source of all of that energy. And that's where I go about in my book, addressing quantum physics, because now science has come and told us what we already knew when we were learning Reiki, what we already knew when we ever studied and read the mystics of old, or what we were being told each time we would delve into the esoteric teachings of any of the major religions. All came to that we're just living one out, you know, coming all from one source, and we're living through one energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the messages of ancient doctrines or religious stories explain that faith has less to do with these belief systems and more to do with the integrity of our soul and relationship with God and others. And that's the truth of who we are and what we're here to learn, to be energetic people with integrity and honesty, and learn to reach out to others. It doesn't matter what dimension they're in. There will be, you know, the computer has taken us and the iPhone to do so many wonderful things with technology. But I believe as we evolve, we'll be able to do it without those tools someday. So I want to thank you, Dr. Steve. Yes, thank you, Dr. Steve Brannan, for sharing your book, The Two Agreements, and your journey of discovery of the interconnectedness of self and soul to the divine source of God, and to our eternal oneness with each other. To learn more about these concepts, go to the twoagreements.blogspot.com. And in summarizing today's show, hopefully we have illuminated the simple fact that over time we have all felt the numbness and longing to remember a time and place of beginning where souls were one in unity with Source or the Creator of life. We all, while functioning in a challenging and very complicated physical world for survival, must rediscover the dynamic and eternal aspects of our connection to this energy and therefore create a more rewarding life experience. And then we can be free of illusion, separation, fear, and darkness. And then maybe it's possible to remember the bright source of our life. And then we'll be able to communicate and align to Source that is available not only to the mystic, but every human being who is ready to receive messages and guidance from Spirit. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within. And please join me again on webtalkradio.net for a look at ways to understand spirituality, energy medicine, and our evolving universe. Also, check out my website, CherylGlick.com, to see and hear masters and leaders with viewpoints of how to find a progressive and new approach to life.